Like grass,
he flourishes like a flower.
Blessed Lord, since you have caused all Holy Scripture to be written for our learning, grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that we may embrace and ever hold fast to the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading for this morning, the fifth Sunday after Pentecost, for the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, is taken from Isaiah 55, beginning with verse 10. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy, and be led forth in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall break forth into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come up the cypress, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle, and it shall make a name for the Lord, an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 8, beginning at verse 12. So then, brothers, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if we live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Crowds gathered about him so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when the tribulation or persecutions arise on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case a hundredfold, in another 60, and in another 30. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Let us join together in confessing our most holy faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's join in singing the hymn of the day.
Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So then, brothers, we are debtors. Have you heard that before? That you're a debtor? Remember all those wonderful debts? Did you ever get out from under them? Still working through them? It's a sad state of affairs, I guess, but you know, that's the way the economy is driven by debt. They want us to use credit cards. They want us to buy cars on time. They don't want the cash payment in full. They really don't. I remember the stories when people said, you don't ever borrow. Wait till you have the money and then buy it outright. Those are good words. Takes discipline, but I'm not sure that we have the discipline nowadays. Some do, but I think the majority kind of find it just plain easier just to whip out that credit card and use it, especially now that you can access your checking account with a card that looks just like a credit card, right? So anyway, debt increases in our lives, but a debt that we don't have to worry about paying off ourselves is the one that St. Paul talks about in the epistle reading. We don't have to worry about paying that debt. In a sense, we do. But we don't have to pay back to God in order for our salvation to take place. But we are indebted to God, aren't we? I mean, while we were enemies of God, He chose to die for us, right? We know that word to be true. Paul's gone through a whole argument about sin and how we're incapable of doing anything but sin. So who's going to rescue us from this body of death, St. Paul says? And the answer is Jesus, right? We remember that from last week and from other times you've read the passage yourself. We are indebted to God. Our debt is a debt of love. That's our debt. Owe no man anything but the debt of love. That goes for God as well. That's what God wants. He wants a heart that is contrite, a heart that is broken and bended, and with bended knees comes before Him and seeks His grace. And that grace is readily available to those who do that very thing. Now, what kind of person does that? We heard Jesus in the gospel lesson today talking about the parable of the seed sower, throwing the seeds here and there, and the results of doing that very thing. And then Jesus explains it. And He talks about how the seed falls on different kinds of ground and the results of that. But the seed that falls on good ground, that produces fruit. Well, what is good ground? Well, Jesus obviously is talking about God's Word, and going out and proclaiming that Word is like throwing seed out into the field. And you know you're going to hit good ground, but you know it's not all going to be good ground, but you do it anyway because you want that fruit. Well, that's the way it is with God's Word. We know it's not going to always be good ground. What is good ground anyway? Well, it is a broken heart. It is the one who hears the Word of God, hearing that law being proclaimed to him or her, and acknowledging, yes, they are a sinful human being. And when we acknowledge that, we turn to God's gospel, that word of grace that tells us that this is the reason Jesus came into the world, that God so loved us all that He sent His one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should have everlasting life. That is the gospel. And that gospel proclaimed relieves someone, anybody, all people really, of the burden or fear of the law. And Paul gets into that part in this lesson today about not returning to that flesh that is dictated really by this world's morality. Not God's, but this world's. And this world is pretty loose with morality. It was so in Paul's day, it is in our day. No difference. And people are loose with morals because they don't know who the true God is. And because they don't know the true God, they don't know the law, and they are not good ground for the Word of God unless it is the law. But St. Paul is talking to Christians here, and he's telling them, don't go back to that again, because then you'll be under the fear, slavery of fear. You'll see yourself as being under the law. You're going to start trying to do it again yourself. And I just told you, you can't do it. So why go back there again? Why go back there? Why give up what God has given you, which is adoption into His family? He has adopted you. He has made you believers, His children. And that's what you are, St. Paul says. He says, you are the children of God. Now, don't get confused, because even during Paul's day, just about anybody could say, hey, we're all made by God, so we're all, whoever that God is, but we're all children of God, or gods. Nowadays, in an immoral world, we hear the same thing. We're all created in the image of God, though most of the people that say that don't even know what that is. They don't know God of justice and righteousness and a God who loves them and a God who cares about them, but a God who also must punish the evildoers, and that there one day will be a reckoning. And on that day, we will stand before God, and God will say to some, I never knew you. I never knew you. Go away from me. He never knew them. How could that be that God never knew them? Well, it's really the other way around, I think. They never knew God. They had an opportunity to know God. St. Paul would point at creation and say, look, look, look. Just in creation you can see that there is a God. And this God revealed Himself to certain people. Of course, Adam and Eve, whom He created first. And then others. And He gave us prophets who spoke His words to us. His words were always there for us. A word of law and a word of gospel. From the very beginning, a word of law to Adam and Eve, you disobey me, that day you die. A word of grace, one day there's going to be from your seed, Eve, from your womb will come forth the one who will destroy the deceiver. But in so doing, He Himself will die. That was the first gospel message. See, it was right there in the very beginning of Genesis. And it's repeated throughout the history of Israel, the Hebrews, the Jews. They all hear it because they have the Word of God. They have the writings of the prophets. And the great prophet Isaiah is one that was constantly read, perhaps, more than any other. Not that the others weren't as well. They were. But Isaiah, he really described God's love for us and the sacrifice that God was going to make on our behalf. See, we have no excuse before God. Oh, we can say, well, some in the world haven't heard the gospel. Well, isn't that why Jesus said He wasn't coming back again until the word was spread throughout the whole world? We leave judgment to God because He is the judge of us all. We don't try and figure that out. That's not our place. Our place is as His children. Is as His children. And as His children, we are led by His Spirit now, and not the spirit of fear that is guided by the law that we cannot fulfill. But our debt of love to God calls on us to live as His children. In our daily lives, we don't look at it and say, well, Christ died for me, I don't have anything I need to do, therefore I'm just going to do what I want. No, St. Paul says that's going back to slavery. That's going back to slavery of fear. You don't want to do that. Instead, your spirit testifies to the Spirit of God, witnesses to the Spirit of God, that you are His adopted child. And you cry out, Abba, Father, because that is who God is. He is our Father. And He gives us His Spirit, a Spirit that leads us, not guiding like, here's my word, now follow it. No, it is an active, living Spirit of God that is in you. It moves you out from your comfort zone. It moves you away from slavery to sin and fear into that place where we know we are God's children because we bear fruit. We do. We bear fruit all the time. Oh, granted, we don't see it. We may even take it for granted that what we are doing is fruitful. And that God is the one who sees it. We don't see it, but God does move us out from our comfort zone. It would be like this. The word that is used for guiding or leading us by God's Spirit is the same word that is used to describe the Holy Spirit leading Jesus out into the wilderness after He was baptized. Not that Jesus needed leading, but God was taking Him beyond His comfort zone. For 30 years, Jesus has been in a situation where He had no huge conflict going on. People weren't flocking to Him yet. No one was persecuting Him with their words or trying to trap Him. No, that was going on. But the second the Spirit leads Him out, what is He doing? He's confronted by Satan. Right there. Three big temptations are landed on Jesus, and we know that during that period there were many other temptations. Not just those three, but those are the three that are recorded for us. Those are the ones that are important for us to know about. But see how Jesus responds. He always responds against temptation, against persecution, whether it were Pharisees or someone else, just perhaps a rich young man or perhaps a poor man. But sometimes they wanted to try and trick Jesus or perhaps trap Him, see whether He belonged to the party of the Pharisees or the party of the Sadducees. But Jesus would have none of it. He always answered back with God's Word. And that's what we do. Not because we have some kind of superpower. Well, maybe we do. We have God's Spirit. We answer to God's Word. When we wonder whether or not something we are doing is more towards that old sinful Adam, or something more towards the new person we are in Christ as God's adopted children, well, your Spirit and the Holy Spirit testifies to you what is right. And we have God's Word at our hands. One of the most wonderful things that ever happened in the 16th century was the invention of the printing press. Because that put God's Word into all kinds of people's hands for the first time. And look how that has grown over the years in the number of publications of God's Word in different languages and in different translations in our own language. All of them aimed at the consumer in this sense. What speaks to you? Is it more contemporary verbiage? Because perhaps it's a little more easy to understand. Some people still swear by King James and would not read any other version. But that's hard. That's not contemporary English. We don't talk that way. And a lot of the words that were used in King James, we recognize that we don't even know what they mean. We just read on right past as though we got an idea, perhaps, only to look it up and find out, wow, I was way off. I've done that in my past. But there is the Word of God we have at our fingertips. It's also in your heart. It's on your mind. It's part of the beauty of worship with a liturgy. You hear the Word of God throughout the whole thing. You hear it time and time again, and you start even praying it on your own from time to time. And it's God's Word. It is the Holy Spirit leading you to do that very thing. And you do it because you know it's how I can show my love for God who saved me, a poor, miserable sinner. And we see other people in a new light. We see other people with eyes of Christ. He doesn't see people that should be damned, ever. He sees people that need Him. And He wants them to turn and come back to Him. Or just turn and come to Him if they never were walking toward Him. But we saw in the parable that Jesus gives that there are different people that hear it with joy at one moment and Satan cuts it off right away. Others, they believe it for a while and then persecution comes along and they desert it. See, St. Paul wants us to know that we have nothing to fear from this world. Not sin, not the law, because we are God's children. And because we are God's children, we're willing, we're ready to suffer like Christ did. And that gets into a whole other thing, which I'll just wait till next week for, because, see, the following verses add to that last verse that St. Paul talks about. You know the verse I'm talking about, right? 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with Him in order that we may also be glorified with Him. Another way of saying it, Jesus said it another time. If you're going to be my disciple, then take up your cross and follow me. This is no different what St. Paul is saying, but like I said, we'll get into that next week. But everything that St. Paul speaks to us is to build us up. To cause us to rejoice in the face of confusion and persecution, whatever that may be. And know that we have our inheritance. We are co-heirs. That's what St. Paul says. We are co-heirs with Christ. What a wonderful thing that is. We were at one time sinners and enemies of God, had no opportunity to enter into heaven. We weren't even part of God's chosen people. We were those Gentiles sitting out in the dark, worshiping false gods. But now we are co-heirs with Christ because we have been adopted by God into His family. And that adoption is guaranteed to us. And you know you've been adopted because you were baptized. Remember, St. Paul is speaking to Christians, baptized people of God. That is God's guarantee to you and me. because there we received His Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Give thee but thine own, whatever the gift may be, all that we have is thine alone. I trust, O Lord, from thee.
Please rise, let's join in the hymn. Wise and faithful in the use of the rich bounty of the earth,
that the poor may be supplied, and that we never fail to give thanks to you for all you have given us for this body and life. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Holy Lord, Almighty God, your word will not return to you empty, but will accomplish your purpose in sending it. By your Holy Spirit, make our hearts good soil for your word to be planted, that we may give evidence of a sturdy faith and show forth in our lives the good works you have called us to do. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy Lord, mighty God, your Spirit accompanies the witness of your people who speak your word before the world. Grant success to the missionary and mission planters and to every pastor and church worker, that those who hear may believe and those who believe may bear good fruit of faith in their lives. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy God, mighty Lord, you have given power to the nations and those who govern to act for the good of your people. Bless our president, the Congress, our governor, and all those elected and appointed to lead us, that justice may prevail and your people may be free to live at peace with all people. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Holy God, mighty Lord, you know how weak and frail we are. Give to those afflicted in mind, body, or soul the fullness of your healing grace, that according to your will, they may be restored to health. Here is for all those suffering or recovering from the pandemic's ravages, for those who have requested our prayers, especially Scott and Judy Stallings, Robert Galavias, Jan Johnson, Bowl Wolf, Pastor Mark Seeger, Nelson Meyer, and Gloria Havman, and for those whom we now name in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Holy God, mighty Lord, you have granted us great riches and gifts. Keep our hearts from being overburdened by the things of this mortal life, whether in time of plenty or in time of want. Deliver us from persecution and sustain us from all tribulation, that our hearts may ever be fixed upon the true treasure of your grace. Accept the tithes and offerings we bring as part of our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving for all your goodness. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
Holy God, mighty Lord, your word endures forever. Keep us from being tossed about by every wind of change and chance, and help us to endure upon the firm foundation of your word and sacraments toward the day when we shall be reunited with all who have gone before and dwell in your presence forevermore. Lord, in your mercy. In him, with him, and through Jesus Christ our Lord is the unity of the Holy Spirit. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, both now and forevermore. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Blessed be the Lord. Receive the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.
with one bread feed.